On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, we have our two first inductees of the Edmonton Oilers Hall of Fame. We will talk about that. Plus, the Young Stars Classic is over with. Let's talk about the biggest and best performers from that tournament. We will talk about that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. On today's episode, as mentioned, the first two inductees into the Edmonton Oilers Hall of Fame, as voted on or as inducted by the original Hall of Fame members of the Edmonton Oilers Hall of Fame, were announced today. Two fan favorites and two from different, very different generations, so we will talk about that. Plus, also later on today's episode, the Edmonton Oilers rookies went 3-0 in the Okanagan, so we are going to talk about some of the performances over there, some not-so-shocking performances, and one that I kind of want to talk about, because one player that I did have an eye on didn't really perform too well at the tournament, so we will talk about that. Plus, in our final segment, we will also just talk one more piece about Jake Virtanen. I know, I hear the dogs barking already. If you haven't seen the comments from the last video, I understand. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast, your team, every day. Where we are going to start is with the Edmonton Oilers Hall of Fame, as mentioned, as they introduce their first two inductees into the Hall of Fame, as voted on by the original group of Hall of Famers. That includes everybody who has a banner in Rogers Place right now, and these names that they induct will be included and displayed over top of the PCL Loge. So, who were the first inductees? Your first inductee, who played 971 games as an Edmonton Oiler, got traded, cried at the airport, and really put a dagger in the hearts of so many Oilers fans. Then he came back for one last ring around the parade, and that is Ryan Smith. Ryan Smith, possibly one of, if not the greatest Oiler of all time, and much deservedly so, inducted into the Edmonton Oilers Hall of Fame. We'll talk a little bit more about his legacy with the Edmonton Oilers, but also inducted into the Hall of Fame next to Ryan Smith is one of the hardest working Oilers ever to put on the uniform. I told my father, because this inductee is more of my father's era, and once I told my father, he was almost in tears, and that is Lee Foglin. Lee Foglin was just an absolute rock for the Edmonton Oilers back in the 80s, back when they were winning all of their titles, all their Stanley Cups. And they couldn't have done it without Lee Foglin. And Lee Foglin, who played 586 games with the Edmonton Oilers in the regular season, 78 in the playoffs, which is a lot, was really one of those guys who was a constant for the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s. And I made sure to call my father, because I was born in 1996, so that is before my time. And I decided to give him a call and ask, what do you remember of Lee Foglin? What was your biggest thing about Lee Foglin? Because I remember my dad would always talk about Lee Foglin growing up, just how much of a leader he was for the Edmonton Oilers. And the biggest things that he really mentioned was, yes, he was the captain, he was the rock of the team, but on the ice, he was also a stay-at-home defenseman. But once Fogey, as my dad loves to call him, once Fogey was on the ice for the Oilers felt safe. You knew when Lee Foglin was on the ice, nobody's touching Gretzky, nobody's doing anything stupid, and the Edmonton Oilers were in a good spot defensively because their leader, Yes, they had Wayne Gretzky. Yes, they had Mark Messier, Glenn Anderson, all those guys. Paul Coffey's, the Kevin Lowe's. Lee Foglin was the wrangler of all of those lads. And there is a reason why, and you take a look at all of the names in the rafters today, there's a reason why those guys inducted Lee Foglin. Lee Foglin is, if not just as important as those guys up there. My dad was saying that he should have had a banner up in the rafters with these guys. Now, his numbers aren't flashy. 36 career goals with the Edmonton Oilers. 124 assists, which is pretty good. 160 total points with the Edmonton Oilers. But 886 penalty minutes. Seventh overall in the Edmonton Oilers organization with penalty minutes. And he was a guy who just did everything right, whether that was a play up the middle of the ice, whether that was standing up for the Edmonton Oilers, a guy who, in all senses of the word, played for the crest on the front and not the name on the back. Lee Foglin, my dad also gave him the comparison of kind of a Jason Smith type. I think he was mostly just saying that so I could understand. But just a real leader in the locker room. A guy that everybody respected. And again, who did everything right. Lee Foglin and Ryan Smith, the first two inductees into the Hall of Fame. I will talk about Ryan Smith first before we move on. Because Ryan Smith, for me, because I had to get out the Lee Foglin part first. For me, Ryan Smith was the first Edmonton Oiler that I really started to love. I had this little book of sports stories and told the story of him getting ran over by, I believe it was Glenn Anderson, as he was running to get an autograph from the Edmonton Oiler legend. He was an Edmonton Oiler fan growing up and being drafted out of Flin Flon, Manitoba with the Flin Flon Bombers. Ryan Smith became one of the most loved Edmonton Oilers over the last generation because of just how hard he worked. Both of these guys were never massive goal scorers. They weren't the flashy players. They weren't the, ooh, I have to go to the game because of X player. I mean, Ryan Smith, for most players, or for most kids growing up, was kind of that player. But he wasn't that guy who was going to go end-to-end, dug weight, shoot the puck type deal. He was going to go stand in front of your goaltender and make it a living hell playing against the Edmonton Oilers. He would go into the corners and battle his literal face off because the amount of broken noses that guy had, the amount of teeth he lost. I remember in the 2006 Stanley Cup playoffs when he popped his teeth out in the middle of the game. I believe it was the second period. Came back, scored the game-winning goal in overtime. And that was what Ryan Smith was. He didn't go in the back and go, I'm bleeding, it's over, I'm in pain. He went, get me as much cortisone shots, whatever you need back then, to get me back into this game and win this game, not only for me, not only for the Edmonton Oilers, but for the city of Edmonton and every single Edmonton Oiler fan in the world. That's what these two guys exemplify, is the Edmonton Oilers spirit. Not going out there for yourself, but going out there for the crest, going out there for the oil drop. That's what Lee Foglin and Ryan Smith did. And those are your inaugural inductees into the Edmonton Oilers Hall of Fame. Can't think of any two better, to be honest, to really represent the first two or the first class of the Edmonton Oilers Hall of Fame and for the original committee, I guess you can almost call them, to induct those two as the inaugural members. Just shows how important those people are, again, not only to the Edmonton Oilers, but to the community of Edmonton, the city of Edmonton, but to every single Edmonton Oiler fan who has ever cheered for the Edmonton Oilers. Ryan Smith, Lee Foglin, congratulations and thank you. Let's move on to a couple of future Oilers who may eventually end up in the Edmonton Oilers Hall of Fame at some point, but it would take a very long time to get there. But they're starting off their careers and hopefully are going to see what the impact that those players had on the community and really play into that factor for the community. The Young Stars Classic wrapped up. Let's take a look at some of the big performers there in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games, which have already happened. And I'm so sorry to those Titans fans. Honestly, I'm sorry to any Derrick Henry fantasy owners, which I am one of them as well. But, I mean, holy, were those Monday Nighters out of hand. Out of hand. Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts just made it their stage. I'm sorry if you threw any bets on the Titans, or I don't even remember who the Eagles played at this point. I don't even remember anymore. That's how bad that game was. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, NHL, MLB, or NBA, excuse me. All the sports. As mentioned, you can get even Mexican League baseball, Korean baseball. I'm sure you can even take a look at the Turkish soccer leagues over there as well. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. As I bring my notes over for the Young Stars Classic, I could throw a bet out on Galatasaray, I think, in the Turkish League. I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, yes, the Young Stars Classic just wrapped up in the Okanagan, and the Edmonton Oilers have won all of their games in regulation again. The Edmonton Oilers over the last 4 years, I believe it was Stauffer who sent out this tweet, Bob Stauffer. The Edmonton Oilers rookies are 17-0-2 over their last 19 games in Penticton. That is insane, and that is a huge credit to the Edmonton Oilers amateur scouts. Also, you have to acknowledge, too, the players who are also coming in on camp invites as well. Fantastic goal scored by, I believe his name is Cole Dubinsky. Massive goal, just beautiful backhand, top-shelf goal. Guys like Noah Dory was also a camp invite, had a pretty nice camp there. I believe Darian Kielb was also a camp invite as well. So a lot of guys that the Edmonton Oilers were keeping an eye on at some point throughout their amateur careers, and then said, hey, why not come on over, and also played a very important part in the Young Stars tournament. But it was the guys who you imagined to steal the show who were the ones who stole the show. Dylan Holloway, 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points, 2 beautiful highlight reel goals. His goal yesterday against the Vancouver Canucks was beautiful. A beautiful drive from the blue line, basically the blue line. Cut in, cut through the defender, made a beautiful play through the stick of the defenseman right on the side of the goaltender, the crease, and put it right through the goalie's legs. It actually put the Oilers up 2-0 at the time. And then the Edmonton Oilers actually choked that lead away for a second. It was 2-2. The Edmonton Oilers would go on to win 5-2 in regulation in that game. But a huge thanks to Dylan Holloway. Another massive thank you to a guy who's been getting a lot of praise ever since the start of camp. And that is Maximus Wanner. Max Wanner scored the Edmonton Oilers, technically game-winning goal in the game against the Vancouver Canucks yesterday. Cam Moon, Edmonton Oilers play-by-play announcer from 630 Ched, really praised his poise and how calm he has been with throughout the camp and throughout these games as well. He has really played a big part in this camp and in these games for the Edmonton Oilers as well. A goal, 2 assists, 3 points for Wanner in the tournament. He's going to most likely, 99.99%, be going back to Moose Jaw for the WHL season. A guy, if you watch any WHL hockey, make sure if the Moose Jaw Warriors are in town playing the Edmonton Oil Kings that you do go watch a game, because Max Wanner will be worth the price of admission for Edmonton Oilers fans there. Also names to mention, James Hamblin as well, obviously, as he, the captain of that team over in Penticton. A lot of people have really been talking about the game of James Hamblin, just how much he's really honed in on the little things in his game. The tough puck battles, fighting for puck battles, being in the right position at all times, fighting for open ice, that type of stuff. Just the little things, and James Hamblin has taken everything in stride so well. There's a reason why he was the captain. A lot of people have been suggesting that he might get some time as the fourth line center, barring some injuries or suspensions or anything like that with the Edmonton Oilers. He could most likely see a call-up at some point with the Edmonton Oilers this year. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points for him in the tournament. I also wanted to mention Xavier Bourgault, who had a goal and 2 assists in the tournament. 3 points for him there. Not really massively on the score sheet, at least, productive, but he was a step ahead of everybody on the ice. I remember watching the first game against the Winnipeg Jets of that tournament, and you knew right there. I'm going to say it. He's going to make the Edmonton Oilers this year. He is going to make a very difficult decision for the Edmonton Oilers to make later on in training camp, because he has played very well. He has really been going into the hard areas, skates very well. His breakaway speed is already almost elite. Xavier Bourgault, man. I'm almost concerned that the Oilers will be too careful now with all their prospects, as they have been very, very well, what's the right word for it, kept almost with all their prospects ever since the debacle of Taylor Hall, Jordan Eberle, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Nail Yakupov. Ever since they just thrusted all four of those guys, well, except for Jordan Eberle, he did play a couple years back in Regina before coming into the NHL. But they really thrusted those four guys into the NHL at the start, and you sat there and went, oh man, I don't know if that's the right idea. You get Magnus Pajarvi Svensson as well in there. And the Edmonton Oilers needed to take a step back. And now I think 10 years later, the Edmonton Oilers are still kind of in that tentative phase. Yes, they sent back Bourgault last year. I want to see if Bourgault can make a really late cut, because he was one of the later cuts last year as well. Yeah, man, he has really worked on a lot of things. One guy in the tournament that I wasn't too pleased with, maybe not too pleased with, maybe more somebody that I expected more from but didn't get, it is the start of the season, so he has, 6 months now to really turn his season around. It's not even bad. But Matvei Petrov, really expected him to be on this list. By the way, big shout out to Oilers Access on Twitter, if you aren't following them already. These are where I got all of these stats. Massive ups to them to stay up and really keep track of these stats. Good for you there. Thank you so much for us who didn't do that. But yes, Matvei Petrov, no points in that tournament. Wish we could see more from him. He kind of went invisible in that tournament there. wasn't very impressive, maybe the word is the best word to use. Wanted more out of him, wanted to see him in more better situations, but really put his stamp on why the Edmonton Oilers selected him and what really made him score 90 points last year in the OHL. Didn't really see that in the Young Stars tournament. So hopefully, one-off thing, move on. He goes into training camp this week, and we'll see how he does there. Obviously, as well, we'll mention Philip Broberg, who is a man amongst kids in that tournament, just facilitating as if he was a 30-year vet. I don't even know how that would be possible. The only guy who would be able to do it would be Joe Thornton, who's working out in F49 right now, or 45 right now. But Philip Broberg just looked a step above everybody in that tournament. Carter Savoy also got an assist in that tournament. Reed Schaefer, a beautiful shot for a goal against the Vancouver Canucks yesterday as well, got on the list there. And also, Michael Kesselring has been looking pretty well for the Edmonton Oilers, pretty good for the Edmonton Oilers there. Another guy to take a watch for in camp this year. Good showing for the Edmonton Oilers rookies in the Young Stars tournament, as it basically always is. The Edmonton Oilers, I have been saying it for a while, the Edmonton Oilers have a very, very underrated prospect talent, or prospect pool, I should say. The Edmonton Oilers, some of the guys, Tyler Tulio, another guy who's within the Oilers organization as well, will be a very fun guy to watch too. There's a lot of guys coming out of the Oilers organization coming up here, and you saw a lot of the talent that's going to be coming up in that Young Stars tournament there. We are going to flip the page now back to main camp, which starts up this week, and we're going to be talking about Jake Virtanen again just really quickly, I know. But I just wanted to clarify some things that I said from yesterday into today, and it'll be the last that I talk about Jake Virtanen unless he makes a team or there's something else to talk about. Either way, before we get into that, I just want to thank you for tuning in to Locked On Oilers and making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL, where Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world with Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. Alrighty, as I reach for my notes one more time, I gotta get better with all of that. I messed up with the camera already. There we go. There it is. See, it's reflective, so it goes off the light and then makes it darker off the camera. So sorry for the audio listeners, as you're like, I don't care, I'm listening. But either way, yes, let's move into Jake Virtanen, as I did have a little bit of a spiel yesterday about Jake Virtanen, which didn't really go over well with a lot of people. It is my most disliked video on YouTube so far, and my other job is also on YouTube, so that certainly was pretty impressive. But what I do want to say about Jake Virtanen, and obviously everybody has different opinions, that's fair, that is what it is, but as Daniel Nugent Bowman put it in his Athletic article that came out yesterday, the Jake Virtanen PTO is getting the backlash that it deserves. That's the biggest thing. It deserves the backlash that it is getting. Now, what does he do on the ice for the Edmonton Oilers? That is the real question. And again, I will give him the benefit of the doubt on the Edmonton Oilers roster or on the ice if he can beat out all these other players that he needs to beat out. Somebody said in the comments yesterday or during the live show, because I do premiere this show every day, if you haven't caught into the premiere every day. But somebody said that a PTO normally means there's a trade going on, and why else bring a guy on a PTO if you didn't already sign him? I hear your logical reasoning, I guess, or logical fallacy, maybe. That sounds like it's an insult. It's not. It's just what it is. But it's not necessarily true. somebody else put who was against my comments yesterday, but made a very obvious and good point that I didn't touch on. Guys who are being brought in on a PTO aren't necessarily guys that the Edmonton Oilers or any team that bring a player in go, okay, we need to get this guy on the roster somehow. We don't have space. Let's just put him on PTO and move on from there. That's not what's going on. The Edmonton Oilers and every team in the NHL need to fill out a training camp roster. They need to have X amount of guys to filter through, to create competition, to light a fire under somebody's butt, to make them think, oh my goodness, my job may be in question here. Those are what PTOs are for. You go to a guy on a PTO and go, listen, we will give you a contract if you can go out there and beat out a guy that already has a contract on the team right now. Fair enough. That is what a PTO is for. Where the backlash comes from is the amount of other players that were out there that you could have extended a PTO to. The Sonny Milanos, the players like that, the amount of players that have actually had successful, productive seasons in the NHL, recently in the NHL, were also looking for contracts, are also free agents, are also looking for PTOs. And for a guy who scored 5 goals his last time in the NHL, also had to be sent down because of how poorly he played, then didn't get a contract out of his free agency year because, yes, he did have off-ice stuff, but because the year before, he wasn't very good. In Russia, And somebody said to me, and fairly so as well, they said that plus minus isn't a fair stat to compare somebody on. Fair enough. I understand that. I completely agree. Did I throw out the plus minus stats out there? For sure. And I agree. Again, it's not a feasible stat. But here is a couple of feasible stats. This is from Scott Wheeler on Twitter, who is a fantastic, fantastic hockey mind in the hockey sphere, or the hockey Twitter, in the game of hockey. Scott Wheeler sent out this tweet, and this was HC Spartak Moscow with and without Jake Virtanen on the ice. Without Jake Virtanen on the ice, the Spartak Moscow team scored 81 goals for, had 71 goals against, and a 53 goals for percentage. 53% goals for. With Jake Virtanen on the ice, at even strength, both of these are at even strength, they scored 16 goals for, 21 goals against, and had a 0.43 goals for percentage. I mentioned that most teams that had Jake Virtanen on their team were better when he wasn't on the ice. There's your stats right there. Yes, it's from the KHL, but those are also the most recent statistics that you can get for Jake Virtanen. The other year, which I did go back to take a look at how well Jake Virtanen is or has done while on the ice for the Vancouver Canucks, and about middle of the pack. Nothing special when it comes to goals for and goals against per 60 minutes. Was it a little over the top yesterday? Absolutely. It's an immediate reaction. But if you know anything about me, I am an over-the-top type of person, over-the-top type of personality, and that is how I get my point across. Jake Virtanen is not better than Sonny Milano. Jake Virtanen is not better than most of the people who were out on the market, if any of the players who are out on the market right now who deserved a PTO. Off-ice stuff aside. Jake Virtanen, again, because I understand people are going to say, oh, you're getting mad over a PTO. I understand. I get it. But it's the second chance deal that everybody gets upset about. And I'm going to call out Oilers fans here. Not a lot of Oilers fans liked Jake Virtanen while he played for the Vancouver Canucks. Now, all of a sudden, people are defending Jake Virtanen like they've been his biggest fan since 2015, 2016, when he cost Team Canada the gold and everybody called for his head. A 19-year-old at the time. An angry mob on Twitter would happily go up against Jake Virtanen back when he was 19, 18 years old. Same with Maxime Comtois. But now all of a sudden, he is a potential bottom six player for your NHL team, and you're a big fan of him. And you say, give him a chance. Fair enough, give him a chance. We'll see what happens. As mentioned, everybody has their opinion. That is mine. I respect yours. And hopefully you respect mine. It is what it is. Let's move on into training camp. If he does earn a spot, he earns a spot. And then we will talk about him again. This will be the last time I talk about Jake Virtanen, because I know a lot of people hate it when I do talk about Jake Virtanen. So I will call it there, unless, again, he forces me to do that. Let's end it there. I'm rambling on again. I hope you have a wonderful day. Tomorrow is a brand new day. It is halfway through the week already. Sorry for getting this out later on than usual, but work with my other job permitted. So either way, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. We shall see you tomorrow. Stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And play La Bamba, baby.